Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Welcome back to Criminal Law Department Presents CAF Chats. I am Major Allie Montgomery, and today I am joined by
Major Cece Bernstein.
Welcome, Cece. It's great to have you on the program. Since it is your first time joining us, please tell our listeners a little about yourself.
I am here at the Judge Advocate General Legal Center and School for the 74th GDP Graduate Degree Program, and I am getting ready to PCS to be the Deputy Chief of Ad Law at USERPAC next year.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad that you're able to join us. And today we are tackling a case that serves as a critical reminder of the real-world consequences of administrative errors, United States versus Lopez.
That's right, Allie. This case comes to us from the Coast Guard and forces us to look at what happens when a service member is illegally confined after his trial is over. It brings up fascinating questions about appellate discovery and, most importantly, what constitutes an appropriate remedy for such a serious error.
Exactly. Let's get into the procedural history and facts to set the stage. Cece, can you tell our listeners what's the story behind this case?
The appellant, machinery technician third class Lopez, pled guilty to two specifications of indecent recording. He was sentenced to a bad conduct discharge, 3 months of confinement, and reduction to E1.
But here, the convening authority stepped in and granted some clemency. Isn't that right?
Yes. The convening authority reduced the confinement portion of the sentence from 3 months down to 2. The military judge then entered this altered sentence into the official judgment. The problem was the trial counsel failed to notify the confinement facility of this reduction.
So Lopez was still locked up for the original longer sentence. How much extra time did he serve?
He ended up serving 26 additional and therefore illegal days in confinement.
No one can give that time back. What was the remedy?
The Coast Guard Court of Criminal Appeals affirmed the findings and sentence, but as a remedy for the illegal confinement, ordered that Lopez be paid 26 days of pay and allowances at his former E4 rate.
And that remedy, along with a discovery issue, is what brought this case to the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. CAF granted review on three issues, but we'll focus on the two main questions. First, whether the lower court erred when it denied most of the appellant's motion for appellate discovery related to the cause of his illegal post-trial confinement. And second, whether the lower court erred when it ordered back pay as a remedy for that illegal confinement. Cece, let's start with how CAF handled the discovery issue.
First, the court established the standard of review for this kind of issue, deciding that a lower court's decision on appellate discovery should be reviewed for an abuse of discretion. This is a deferential standard, meaning CAF won't second-guess the lower court unless its decision was clearly unreasonable or based on an incorrect legal principle.
So applying that standard, did CAF find that the CCA abused its discretion here?
No, it did not. Lopez wanted to compel the discovery of emails and other communications, arguing that they might show that the government's failure to release him on time was the result of bad faith or gross negligence. However, CAF found that Lopez had not provided any real evidence to suggest it was intentional. The court characterized his request as a fishing expedition, stating that an appellant must provide more than a bare allegation or mere speculation to get this kind of post-trial discovery. The error, while serious, appeared to be the result of simple negligence, not anything more sinister.
But isn't that the point of discovery, to find that evidence?
Well, sure. But the court is clear that there has to be a reason to believe that the evidence exists, and at least a theory about what the evidence is going to do for the appellant's case.
Makes sense. So CAF deferred to the CCA on denying the discovery. But does that mean no one gets held accountable for the illegal confinement?
That's the core of the appeal, the remedy. The CAF concluded that the CCA had erred and acted outside its authority by ordering what the CAF called back pay. The majority opinion reasoned that remedies like restoring pay are only for situations where a service member was wrongfully deprived of pay they were otherwise entitled to.
But Lopez had gotten a BCD and his pay had stopped with the announcement of his sentence, right?
Exactly. He was no longer in a paid status. The court's logic was, you can't restore pay that someone was never supposed to receive in the first place.
So the court is saying that the CCA's authority to grant relief under Article 66 of the UCMJ doesn't allow them to create an award of financial damages out of thin air. But that's the majority. There were also dissenting opinions in this case, right?
Yes. Judge Johnson joins in the opinion of the court and dissents in part, challenging the question presented and saying it wasn't back pay at all, precisely because he was not entitled to it. She argued that the term appropriate relief in Article 66 should be read broadly, and that awarding pay and allowances for the time illegally served was a suitable and right form of relief under the circumstances, especially since there were multiple cases where such a remedy was ordered and Congress had not legislated against it, where they could have.
And what about Judge Maggs' dissent?
In his dissent, Judge Maggs points out that Lopez wasn't harmed by receiving the monetary relief, and the government actually didn't argue against it. So in his view, CAF shouldn't decide whether that's an appropriate remedy because there's no truly adversely affected party. He would affirm the CCA's decision as within their discretion, even if it was money that Lopez would otherwise not be entitled to.
So wait, you said the government didn't argue against the back pay. So it was M.K. Lopez arguing that the CCA couldn't order the back pay? What remedy did he want?
He wanted the BCD set aside, but the CCA had already said, even if there was no other meaningful relief, setting aside the BCD would be inappropriate.
I see. So technically, M.K. Lopez won the argument with CAF's ruling that the CCA did not have the authority to award a financial remedy. But he might have shot himself in the foot with that.
Possibly. The case was remanded back to the CCA to determine a new lawful remedy, but we'll have to wait and see what they do.
All right, Cece, what are our takeaways from this case?
For our government listeners, the takeaway is clear. Administrative diligence is paramount. A simple clerical error, like failing to send an email, can lead to a person being illegally confined. This can have serious repercussions for the case on appeal. So every I must be dotted and T crossed, especially when it comes to a person's liberty.
And for our defense listeners, this case highlights two things. First, if you're going to allege government misconduct to get appellate discovery, you need to come with more than just suspicion. You need to make a colorable showing that the information you're looking for actually exists and is relevant in accordance with the Campbell factors. Second, it shows the creative arguments that can be made for a remedy. While the financial award was struck down here, the door was left open for a more significant remedy, sentence relief. It's a reminder to think outside the box when seeking relief for a client who has been wronged.
An excellent summary of a very complex case.
I agree. Well, thank you, Cece, so much for joining me today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. See you next time for another episode of CAF Chats.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General's or the Department of the Army or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. And the court will stand in recess until further order of the court.